You don't have all the facts. I don't have all the facts. He says, you let me take care of everything. You let me be the judge. When it says give place to wrath, that's not talking about your wrath. It's saying he's already working on the problem. Just give it to him. Amen?
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Hello and welcome, everyone. We want to get right into the study now and join Pastor Bill for the conclusion to the message, Cling to What is Good, from the New Testament Epistle of Romans.
It says, be kindly affectionate to one another, talking about believers, and he tells us how to do it, with brotherly love. That literally could be translated as members of the same family. We're a family here, the family of God. In honor, giving preference, and that means preference only found here in the New Testament, by the way. It means for every believer to be led by an example for each other. That I'm going to be affectionate to you and you're going to be affectionate to me. And we all do that because we're training the generation underneath us. Amen? And watch how we do it. In honor, giving preference to one another, that word honor means to treat as precious. You're precious to God and to me and to one another. God says in his word, precious is in his sight is the death of his saints. We are precious to God, and we should be precious one to another. We need to be known, especially in this 21st century generation of Christians, we need to be known more than just a people. Well, we preach the Word of God. We need to be a people that live the Word of God. Amen? And we apply it to our very lives. It says in 1 John 4:7, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. But he who does not love, talking about agape, he who doesn't love, he doesn't know God. She doesn't know God. Why? For God is love. And that love has been shed abroad in our hearts. So what does this kind of love that comes down from heaven, resides in our hearts, what does it do? It says, I cling to everything God says is good. Look at the next one in verse 11. It says, not lagging, or literally that word is slothful. Don't be lazy. Not lagging in diligence. Now, that's outward, okay? Outward living. Now, watch this. Fervent in spirit. That's inward. That's a glow by the power of another, the Holy Spirit of God. And serving the Lord. Now, that's upward. We're his hands and his eyes. We're his heart to these people here in this generation. Outwardly, it says what? Diligence. Now, in the King James Version, if you still have that old version, which is nothing wrong, it's a beautiful version, it used to be my favorite, it would say business. And so we would think maybe, well, don't be slothful, don't be lazy in business, meaning if you're a lawyer or a plumber or whatever, be a hard worker. That's not what that word is saying. When it tells us to be diligent, it's talking about being diligent and taking care of the business of the Lord. Amen? That's what this is telling us. In other words, working for him, not laziness, but busyness. Jesus said, occupy, do business. In other words, do what I want you to do. Do business till I return, till I come back. Now, listen very carefully. Beware of laziness. I'm not saying anyone in this church is lazy. I'm not saying that at all. But you need to cling to what is good. Did you know that sloth or laziness is a sin? How many sermons have you heard in your lifetime on sloth in a church? Probably not very many, but it is something that you need to really think about and consider. You know, the Bible says a lot about laziness of a believer. Listen to what it says in Proverbs 13:4. It says, the soul of a lazy man desires but has nothing, but the soul of a diligent shall be made rich. In other words, God blesses, get out there and take care of business. Ecclesiastes 10:18, Solomon writes, he says, because of laziness, the building decays, and through the idleness of hands, the house leaks. Now, laziness or slothfulness can cause spiritual decay in our own lives, all right? Listen to this one. You'll love this one. Proverbs 26:13. The lazy man says, there is a lion in the road, a fierce lion in the streets. Is that the most bizarre thing you've ever heard in your life? Honey, I can't go to work today. Don't you see that big lion, Tony the Tiger? He's out there in the street. Y'all, you don't remember Tony the Tiger? It's great. You don't remember that? I must be on a high. I did take 2 Sudafed so I could breathe. No, listen. No, there's a lion in the street. Oh, it's a not only just a lion. Did you notice that word? Fierce. It's a man-eating lion. I can't go to work, honey. There's no way. Listen, let me ask you a question. Do you think, and I say this tenderly, I'm provoking you because I care for you and I love you. Do you think there might be a little bit of laziness in the church today? Yes. If you don't believe me, come with me in between services or right before I come to preach when I go into the bathroom before I stand up here and clean the bathroom after everybody's used it. Oh, yeah. You didn't? Yeah. You know, and whoever you were that went in there and punched the thing you wash your hands with and you put that 1 gallon of that liquid on the floor, ooh, ooh, hallelujah. May God have mercy on your soul. I'm very honest about things like that. This is God's house. It should never be done. Now, laziness. I want you to do me a favor. Turn quickly to Matthew's gospel. Hold your place, though. Turn quickly to Matthew's gospel. Let's listen to Jesus just for a second. In Matthew's gospel, chapter 25, and I don't have time to read the whole thing, the parable of the talents. You know the talents that, you know, the Lord gave out different amounts of talents to each one. In other words, and you take care of business. This is what I'm giving believers, Jesus said. Take care of business until I return. And drop down here to verse 24, all right? Look at verse 24 with me. And then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, oh, Lord, because see, the ruler came back and he's now said, give me back what I have entrusted to you. He says, oh, Lord, listen. Oh, I knew you were a hard man. You're not really fair. You're hard. Reaping where you didn't sown and gathering where you've not scattered seed. Remember the servant that received the 1 talent. Remember what he did. The others went and made more with it. He took his talent and he dug a hole and he hid it in the ground. And Jesus said, listen, you were not supposed to go hide it or protect it. You were supposed to use it. Look at verse 25. And the servant goes, oh, listen, I was afraid. He wasn't afraid. He was lazy. Okay? Watch this. And he went and he hid your talent in the ground. He says, oh, look, here it is. This is what is yours. I mean, you know, here I have it. It's still here. You should be thankful that I have it. Here, take it. And I'm through. And look what Jesus said. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and, whoa, did you know laziness is a sin? It says, you wicked and lazy, not unbeliever, but servant. You lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I've not sown, gather where I've not scattered seed. Now go down to verse 30, drop down. Look what happened. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now listen, I don't know exactly what that may mean, but I do know this. The unprofitable, lazy servant, was he a thief? Was he an adulterer? Was he a murderer? No. He was one thing. He was lazy with what God had entrusted unto him. He didn't use it. He still had it, but he just didn't do anything with it. Listen, beware of do-nothing Christianity. Amen? That doesn't exist in the Word of God. Matter of fact, listen to this last scripture on being lazy. Proverbs 18:9. He who is lazy, he who is slothful in his work, is a brother to him who is a great destroyer. Who is him who comes to kill, steal, and destroy? The devil. Now listen, Christian love isn't lazy, okay? No, we cling to what is good. That doesn't mean that, listen, it doesn't mean we don't go home and after the service and get into your lazy boy. I do. And it's, like you heard me all say, it's conformed to my image. You know, it is. And I tell you, my wife wants it to be gone. She wants it because it's old. I mean, it's old and it's faded and it's comfortable. And it's, you know, it's got that duct tape where the rips are. And boy, but when you lay back in it, it's so big and you sink into it. It's, I mean, it's like it hugs me. No, it does. And I don't care. I love my wife. I'd do anything except the lazy boy's not going. So it's not that I'm lazy. I love it. I like that. I could sleep in it. I pray in it. I could, you know, when I want to read, I go into that and sit there. You want to hear my life story? No, listen. No. Oh, we're not lazy people. Cling to what is good. Now, listen, let me beat you up just for a moment, okay? I'm feeding you and beating you at the same time. Pastor Chuck would be upset with that, but let me do it. Don't be so lazy you won't open up your Bible if you have a marriage problem and not find out how to get your marriage well. Don't be so lazy if you know God's way to do something and do it right, but you're too lazy to apply it to your life. Don't be lazy. We don't cling to things like that. Look at verse 12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly. This is who we are. In what? Prayer. Oh, man, welcome to Calvary Chapel. This is a year of passionate, persistent, fervent prayer. Prayer is the work. Continuing steadfastly. That means never giving up. Luke 18:1, what Jesus said, men ought always to pray and never give up. Jesus said in Matthew 7:7, we need to keep on knocking and keep on seeking and keep on asking. The doors will be open if we will do that. Oh, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man, a righteous woman availeth much, or literally, as it says in James 5:16, is very powerful. Prayer. Christians, we are not lazy people. We pray. Look at 13 now. Ooh, this is good. Distributing to the needs of the saints, that's taking care of one another, given to hospitality, that word literally means the love of people that are strangers. It says, bless those who persecute you. Do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Now listen. What does all that mean? It means this, the love that we have, this is what that love does. It distributes, it gives, it blesses, it doesn't curse, it rejoices, it weeps with those who weep, it clings, it glues themselves to what is good, and God says these things are good. We are all on equal footing with one another at this church, amen? That's right. We're all the family of God. Look at verse 17, one of our favorite scriptures. Repay no one evil for evil, especially the person who runs you off 820 during the rush hour. You know what I mean? No evil for evil. Have regard for what kind of things? Good things. Why? We cling to what is good. Good things in the sight of all men. Now, if possible, and I know, loved one, we're all in the same boat. Sometimes it's just not possible, even though we try with all of our hearts. If possible, as much as it depends upon you, live peaceably with all men, all people. That indeed is supernatural living, isn't it? Now, watch this. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Now, what is God saying here? We cling to what is good. So when someone hurts us, someone beats us up, whatever they do to us, lies about gossip, whatever it might be, God says, I'm taking that personal revenge out of your hands. I know that you're sheep among wolves. He says, no, I'm taking that out of your hands. Sometimes, listen, we're going to be persecuted, okay? Grow up. It's going to happen. Listen to what Paul says in 2 Timothy 4:14. He says, Alexander the coppersmith, boy, he did me a lot of harm. And what did he say? May the Lord repay him according to his works. Solomon writes in Proverbs 20:22, do not say, I will recompense evil. He says, wait for the Lord. The Lord will save you. Proverbs 24:29, do not say, I will do to him just as he's done to me. And so, don't you feel like that sometimes? I don't know what it is at my age. I have to be, because my patience with these people that drive out there. If you're going 75 miles an hour in a slow lane, why would you get behind me and flash your lights? I can't go anymore. I mean, I can't. You want me to get on the grass, the median? There's three other lanes to get in. Go around me, fast car. Isn't that right? Oh, never mind. And then I have to quote this scripture. I will not do to him as he's done to me, but I want to. I will render to the man according to his work. Listen, would you say that sometimes that's kind of hard? Well, no wonder Jesus told us in John 15, 18, he said, listen, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. And here's what we have to do. When we do those things, when we cling to what is good, when we let that love that God has shed abroad in our hearts come out, we need to understand this. We're not submitting to the guys on 820 who gets and tailgates you and flashes his lights and all of that. No, we're submitting to the Lord. We're saying, okay, Lord, that's what you told me to do. He knows that this is wrong, or somebody's hurting you. He knows that they've hurt you. He's not telling you to deny your pain or any of those things. Look at verse 19. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Now listen, I think God knows how to take care of us. You don't have all the facts. I don't have all the facts. He says, listen, you let me take care of everything. You let me be the judge. When it says give place to wrath, that's not talking about your wrath. It's saying God is already on the problem. He's already working on the problem. Just give it to him. Amen? That's what we're to do. Listen, remember when David, when he was hunted like an animal by Saul, David had the chance to kill him twice and he didn't do it. What did David finally say to the Lord? Let me read it to you from 1 Samuel 24:15. David said, okay, Saul, he wants to hunt me down. He wants to kill me. I'm sick of it. 11 years on the run. He says, therefore, let the Lord be judge and judge between you and me, meaning King Saul, and see and plead my case and deliver me out of your hands. What did David just say? Okay, Lord, I am not going to take vengeance. Why? Because the battle is yours. You're the one that's going to do it. Have you finally come to a place in your life when you allow God to handle your enemies? That's the greatest thing you can do. Lord, there, you know what he's done. You know that I've forgiven him, forgiven her, forgiven them 30 years of employment. My retirement was next month. Then they let me go. Oh, God, you know what they've done to me. God says, hey, let me take care of it. I think I can handle it better than you can ever take care of it. Amen? So what do we do? We do what this love does. We cling to what is good. Look what we do. Verse 20, quickly now. It says, therefore, if your enemy is what? Hungry, let him starve to death. Feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. Why? For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire upon his head. Listen, that is from Proverbs 25, 21 through 22. If you read the whole proverb, you'll find at the very last, let me read it to you how it would read if we read it all. It says, you will heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord will reward you. God says, you just do what I say. See, hostility is repaid by how? By love. Doing what God says. And that, you know, people say, that's radical Christianity. No, that's real Christianity. Jesus, this is doing what God says. Did you know that if that's happened to you, you've got all the coals that you need. You've got these coals of fire. And people say, okay, Bill, can I burn them up? No, that's not getting even. That's not what this means. This means that you are clinging to all that's good. Let me tell you why, what Jesus told us in Luke 6:22. Blessed are you when men hate you, when they exclude you, revile you, cast out your name, meaning the name is Christian, as evil, for the Son of Man's sake. In other words, not because you're just a mean person, but because of Jesus, because you're following him. You act like Jesus, okay? Now, he says in verse 27 of Luke, he says this, but I say unto you who hear, love your enemies. God, that's hard. But we can do it by the power of another. Love your enemies and listen to how we do it, clinging to what is good. He says, and do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who spitefully use you. Now listen, this is very important. Jesus is not commanding us to feel a certain way because I'll tell you don't feel it and I don't feel it, okay? He's telling us to act a certain way. You see, when we do good, when we bless, when we pray for those, what are we doing? We're clinging to what's good, but we're also what? We're walking in the love of God that he's poured out in our hearts. We realize that those who do those things, listen, you know, we know that they don't know the Lord. We know that they're not born again. And we need to pray for them. Why? Because they're going to face the judgment, and that judgment is irreversible, and we need to pray for them because God loves them. We need to win them. Amen? Y'all with me? Am I going too long? Is it time to go to Luby's or something? You going to give me just one more minute? Or can we go to verse 21? All right, let's wrap this up. Do not be conquered. That's what the word overcome means. Do not be conquered by what? By evil. Don't let evil conquer you. But conquer evil or overcome evil, how? With good. There it is. Clinging to what is good. Overcome or be overcome. Listen, God has called us to conquer this kind of evil, and the only way it can happen is really by doing good, like God says in His Word. Now listen, we live in a world already overcome with evil. So what do? We do what Jesus did. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with power, remember, with the Holy Spirit, and who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. That's what we're called to do. We're Jesus to this world, aren't we? We're the body of Christ. Matter of fact, if you went over to chapter 15, verse 14 of Romans, you'd find out that you are full of goodness, whether you know it or not. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 2:15, for this is the will of God, that by doing good, you may muzzle or literally silence the ignorance of foolish men. That word, in other words, by what we do in our life, it so staggers people. It just stuns them, and their mouth literally is muzzled. They don't even know what to do. That's what doing good, in the spite of all the hell that people can throw at you, that's what it'll do. Listen, we are to cling for what is good because of this. Ephesians 2:10, were we created for good works? Yes. And those good works were prepared for us before the foundation of the world. Philippians 1:6, did you know you are a good work? Being confident of this, brethren, that he who began a good work in you will complete it until the very day of Christ. Listen, God is working. Let us not grow weary in well-doing, because in due time, we're going to reap. Don't let us grow weary in doing good, the Bible tells us. Listen, I know it's time to go, and I don't have time to really go on. I didn't realize it's getting so late. I guess Kevin went long or something. I'm joking. I want to ask you one more question before it's time to go home, okay? How did God overcome evil? John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Was this an evil people in this world? For God so loved the world, he did something. This is what love does. That's the love that lives in us. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, any person on earth, any person caught up in sin, drugs, whatever it might be, living a horrible life, whosoever believeth in him would not perish, never burn in hell, would not perish, but have everlasting life. The word believe is what ignites John 3:16. If you don't know Christ, if you will believe in your heart and confess Jesus as Lord with your mouth, and if you will be sincere, God will save you. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus that Calvary Chapel is filled with believers who cling to what is good. We abhor that which is evil because our Father in heaven abhors it. Oh, Lord God, thank you for this day. Thank you for this word and telling us how to live in the world that we live in, telling us how to behave, telling us, oh God, what it means to be transformed and living a transformed life. I pray you bless your people this morning. I pray, Lord, they have a blessed, oh, exceedingly blessed Sunday. I pray that they walk out of here with no fear in their hearts or minds, that their heart is filled with peace, knowing that God loves them, will take care of them, heal their marriage, whatever's wrong, help them with their finances, whatever is wrong, he's a supplier of all of our needs. Lord, bless them now. And let the joy of the Lord be their strength right this day and forevermore. We love you, we praise you, we give you honor and glory. In the mighty name of Jesus, and his church said, amen.
Thank you for listening with us today. And just a reminder, Pastor's series from Romans continues on our next broadcast. So please tune in once again, won't you? God bless, and so long, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.